Today's Shir Mishnah Brura Yomi is Daf Pei Dalid Omid Aleph. We're beginning the bottom of Pei Gimel Omid Beis. We're still in Simen Nun Gimel. We're up to Sif Chaf Beis, and we're continuing to talk about some of the halachos of the Shliach Tzibur. The Mechaber writes, Shliach Tzibur Bischar, Odif Tvei Miminadova. Surprisingly, to what many people might have thought, it is much better to pay a chazan than to have a volunteer chazan. What's the reasoning behind this? The Mishnah Brura in Sif Kotten Samach Gimel explains, because nobody else can then step up who's inappropriate and say, well, I'd also like to daven. If he can volunteer, I can also volunteer. But if you're paying somebody, then people don't have the right who are inappropriate to go and demand to be at the omid as well. If it is a volunteer, so then anybody can claim, I also would like to volunteer. And as a result, an inappropriate, unworthy person might lead the tzibur, which is not right. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're getting paid for something, you're going to put in time and effort, because you know that you're now a paid employee as opposed to a volunteer. A volunteer might have the attitude, well, listen, I'm a volunteer. What do you want? You get what you pay for. So that's the idea. If a person is paid to be the chazan, he'll do a better job. Since he's now being paid for this, he will work at it more. Even though they're very good people that would do it for nothing, we can nevertheless demand that the poor people of the city pay to have the chazan, as we'll see in the next sif, because a paid chazan is better than a non-paid chazan, a volunteer chazan. In the issue footnote number 73, he brings down how are you allowed to do this to get schar Shabbos, so he goes into some discussion that this is not a problem, the halacha brura says it's not a problem. This is probably because of the din of havlah, that you're not only working on Shabbos, the chazan is preparing all those nigunim, all the understanding of the tefillah, it takes time, so you're paying him a set fee for the total package, so to say, which includes the work on Shabbos as well as the work on the weekdays. The Ramah adds, Hagah, the ainli odom lispalel below rotzon akol. Nobody should ever get up there without the permission of the tzibur. Nobody should go up there to daven on their own. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Samach Dalet adds, Oliskoa. The same thing would be for the person who's blowing shofar. Sif Katan Samach Hey, he writes, below rotzon, without the permission of the tzibur, the ainli odom liskotet bavur shum mitzvah. Nobody should get into a fight because of this. For no mitzvah is it worth getting into a fight for going to Lila, say for Torah, Chayotziba, even for Galila, or any other mitzvah. To fight for it is definitely the wrong thing. Shari Shanino, because we've learned the famous Gemara that talks about Hatsnuim Moshe Mesideim Ilechem Aponim, Vagaganim Chotvim, when there was only a small amount of the Lechem Aponim, and you had a lot of people running and grabbing for the little bit of the Lechem Aponim, so the Tsnuim, the Erlecha, very humble individuals, they would pull the hand away. Even though it's a mitzvah, Avchilas Lechem Aponim mitzvah, nevertheless, they said, better not to go and grab for this mitzvah, let other people go and take it instead, and that's what the gluttons did, they grabbed at it. Mishnah Berurah says, Uposhut, the dafk im mitzvah tiskai my deachet. Only time you can do this if somebody else will do it. Then don't get into a fight. Abel mitzvah tisbato legami. If nobody's going to do it, then you should go and jump to do it. Kigon hachnosas orchem or haskakas talmid Torah. If nobody else is going to invite the guest into the house or nobody else is going to support the Torah, the yesh be'ado limchos, and he has the ability to protest and to do it, v'vadei mechuyev limchos kedei lahachzik mitzvah, then he certainly should go and protest. He should take an active role in order to make sure that the mitzvah is done properly. Sharidino kofin because technically one can force people to go participate in the support of such mitzvos, as we learn in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, and in the Ramah over there. The Ramah continues and he writes, Chomi shimispalel b'chazaka, anybody that goes and takes the omid by force, the derech alomus, or through strength, ain onim amen achar b'chosov. You're not allowed to answer amen to his bracha because he has no permission to be the shliach tzibur. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Samach Vav adds and he writes, Ain onim, you're not allowed to answer amen. She'ain zeh mevarech ela menoitz. Such a person is not making a bracha. He's unfortunately doing something terrible. He's scorning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneva botzea beirech nietz Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to steal bread and then go make a bracha on it. And that's what this person is doing. He's stealing the mitzvah. That's how Dirshu footnote number 74 explains it in the understanding of the Vilna Gaon, as brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, and as well brought down by Elif Lamata and the Mati Ephraim. If you answer amen, it nira kilu maskimimo. It's as if you agree with this person who's basically stolen something from the tzibur, the opportunity to have somebody be the shliach tzibur. Sif Chav Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Schar shliach tzibur porim mikupas akol. The payment for the shliach tzibur comes from the community chest. In Sif Katan Samach Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah explains, Ubesimen Nunhei, we'll learn, Sheposik, the Chetzer, the Mechaber is going to paskin over there, the Chetzer lufi Mamon, half of the money that we pay for it comes based upon a wealth tax. The wealthier people pay for half, the chetzu lefi nefesh, and the other half is a what we call a skull tax. In other words, the number of people, each person pays a set amount, regardless of their wealth. He tells us to look in the Sefer Elia Rabba, who disagrees, Shemachalik, the Mechazen Shaini. He says the halacha is different by a chazen, and he says the Gra explains as well that the Mechaber is Chazerbo, uposach shom kagosh bekan. He passes over here like the Ramah, which we'll say in a moment. The issue footnote 75 and 76 state, when we go according to the head count, the skull tax, so to say, the Makor Chaim writes that you look at older children as well, and v'miyesh lehem mamo mishalehem, they're independent and on their own, tzrichim hem loseis chatzi lefi mamo kishar noshim, they pay half of the amount as a regular adult. A widow, Rachmana Litzlan, the Makor Chaim says, she has to pay also just like a regular man, because she's also chayeves in tefillah, and therefore she needs a shliach tzibur too. In footnote 76, he writes that the reason is, by a chazan, that we go according to the wealth, is the Levush's explanation, the Taz, the El-Yarabah, all say, because the Ashirim are willing to pay more for a person who has a nice voice, whereas the poor people are saying, okay, whoever we get as the chazan will be acceptable to us, therefore it's the Ashirim who have the bigger responsibility in paying for this extra expense. Later on, the Mishnah Berurah will also say that the poor people have the option of leaving, whereas the rich person with his big house will not leave so quickly. Therefore, he has the burden to pay when it comes to bringing in the chazan for the Yom Noroim and other special occasions. In Sivkot and Chsam Ches, the Mishnah Berurah explains that the kupas akol is nigves lefi amomon. That is the charity box that the rich people have to pay for, but the poor people don't have to pay for. Chabad then continues and he says that this schar for the shliach tzibur is paid for by the rich people. Afal pisha shliach tzibur motzi adal ka'ashi, even though he's also the chazan for the poor people, nevertheless, b'kol mokom ein yad ha'oni maseges ka'ashi. The poor person can't afford it as well as the rich person, as we just also explained some of the reasons in the Dirshu footnotes and from the Mishnah Berurah later on. The Ramah, however, disagrees. The Ramah says, v'hagah, v'yeshomim shegovim chatzi lefi mamun v'chatzi lefi anafashos. The Ramah says, there is another opinion, however, that says that you take half based upon the wealth and half based upon the population. The chaynu minog hakaholos. And this, he says, is the minog in the kehilos in Europe. In Sivkot and Samach Tes, the Mishnah Berurah writes, because one could argue that the poor person needs the ani, just the chazan, just as much as the rich person does. And while a rich person might pay more to have a better chazan, since the poor person has other options, the Mishnah Berurah explains that's why the Ramah says this was the minhag that they would split it. Half would be based upon wealth, and half would be based upon the number of people davening in the shul. Sivkot and Ayin, the Mishnah Berurah explains, from the Darki Moshe, it brings down the Kosav, the Minog, Bidinosenu, Dal, the Osher, Nosn, Bishova. He says, however, Darki Moshe brings down that a rich and poor person each pays equally. In other words, it's based upon the number of people. Then say it's something with him. I'm not really sure I understand. He says, Gami kol nisuin, also for marriages. Maybe the chazan's getting paid to do the marriages. I'm not sure. Magia lo kifi nidon. He also gets paid according to this. V'hu ha-chetz yirish lefi mamun, based upon half of it coming from the mamun. To be honest, I'm not sure I understand this. In any event, the Levush writes, Tibamokum she'en ha-minog, igbu lefi mamun. If there is no set custom to split it in the ways that we just discussed, then you go based upon wealth. He says, look in Choshe Mishpat and the Ramah over there, and that's the Psak Magen Avraham. He says, look at the Darki Moshe, the Mash Mine, you see from there, the Afilu Dasa Poskin, the Poskin Lefi Mamon, even according to those that say you go according to wealth, in Iraq, Bishirus Ashliach Tzibu, Shesokhan Soliyom and Aram. This is only talking about hiring the Chazan for the high holidays. The Bazer Sviru Lefi Mamon. There you go by the Mamon, as we explained already previously, Hashirim Machwas Oshum, Lo Yuchlo Latzes Mi Botem Lelichem Reikom. The rich people aren't going to leave their houses and go elsewhere. The Aniyim could do that. Yeholun Lech, Al Itim Alo Leirachers. They could go to a different town. Mashen came Bishlil Tzibu, Shesokhan Akol Ashana. But as opposed to the rest of the year, the poor people aren't going to leave the town every single week, so therefore you don't go by Mamun Levad in that situation, but you have to allow the poor people to pay a certain share as well. Siv Chav Dalet, the Mechaber writes, Sibur Shetzrichim Liskor Rav Ushliach Tzibur, a community that needs to hire both a rabbi and a chazan. And they don't have enough money to pay for both. So who should they pay for first? Imu Rav Muvok, if he's a great Rav, the Gadol B'Torah, great Torah personality, Uboki Bora, and he knows how to pass in Shilohs, Hu kodem. He comes first, the Mechaber says. V'imlav, but if this person is not capable to do those things, he may be a Talmud Chacham, he may know how to learn, but he's not able to be a posek for them, then the Shliach Tzibur is kodem. The Mishnah Berurah explains why. In Sivkot Ayin Aleph, he writes, Afagav, the Yachsel Lehem Aydeh Zemitzah Tfilah, by hiring the Rav, they're not going to have a Chazan who'll be able to lead them in Tfilah. That's obviously the Rav is not capable of doing that. They won't have somebody that can lead them in the Tefillah B'tzibur. And this was talking about the days before they had Sidurim and the Chazan was really being Motzei, all the people in the community. So Zeshia Rav Moritz Tzedek. So it's preferable that you have a Rav who is a Posek, Shiodiem, Torah Hashem U'Mishpatel, who will be able to teach him how to live their lives properly and teach them the laws. Adif minat tefillah. He brings us down the name of the Tshuva Sarash, that this is preferable than having a Baal tefillah. And he says, look at the Bir Halacha, where he goes into great detail, Shekasavnu godel achiyah b'cholir lozeh, how great it is for a city to have such a responsibility, the first to have a Rav. And if you look at the Bir Halacha that begins Dibur HaMaskel Shliach Tzibur, I'll just read parts of it. He says, Umizeh yira ha'odom godel achiyah b'chol ir liskor lehem rav shiro lehem mitzvah satorah mishpatah. How important it is for a city to go and hire a Rav to teach him how to act properly, to teach him what they should be doing in terms of all the Yom Tovim. And they shouldn't be like blind people feeling around in the darkness. This is a very big musa for communities or even neighborhoods where they break off into little house minyanim in order not to have to be listening to a Rav and not have to listen to a drasha and not to have a Mor HaRav. This is absolutely incorrect, the Mishnah Berurah says. And he writes, even by hiring the Rav, they won't have any chazan at all. They won't be able to daven. He says this chiyuv to have a rav is more important. And he says this is especially true if the people can daven. Nowadays, everybody has a sitter. Bevadai ze kodem. Certainly getting a rav takes precedence. Umizeh yimlu riseis v'pachad. He says, I don't understand. He says, how can there be cities, there can be communities that don't have a Rav who runs them? And this is a tremendous sin. He goes into more detail and more detail why it's so bad. And he concludes, this city, this community that doesn't have a Rav will go from trouble to trouble, basically. And there'll be Chilul Shabbos, Chilul Yontif, there'll be Chashash Chometz, Chas V'Shalom, all sorts of terrible things. And he concludes, who knows how many other capital crimes they'll commit? Hashem Yishmerenu, man, Hashem Keilu. God should protect us from a community, from leaders of a community like this who choose not to hire a Rav, who choose to have no Morid Derech. A very, very strong castigation by the Chafetz Chaim. The Mishnah Berurah then continues and writes, "Kosa b'shuvas chasam sofer." He brings down the whole anshei mukhuyavim l'tein l'zeh. Everybody has to pay for this, the rich and the poor. In the issue footnote number 79, he brings down, if the Rav is able to support himself, kol hakavod, that's great. But not everybody zochel l'shtei shulchanos. Not every Rav is able to support himself. And he writes, whatever the Rav can support on his own, he shouldn't constantly try to ask the community to pay him more if they're unable to afford so. But again, a community should be able to afford to give the Rav a proper salary so that the Rav can spend full time taking care of the needs of the community. Continues, says, no individual, ain't echo jochel omar, ain't any tzorich l'rav u'mor etzedek. I don't need a rav, so let the other people pay for the rav. Even if that's true, he certainly should go along with the needs of the community and put himself into the situation where he can help them as much as possible to also pay for the rav. And similarly, he says, everybody has to pay for a mikveh, even though the person may say, you know, my wife doesn't use the mikveh anymore, she's older, etc. In the issue footnote 80, he brings down that the Chofetz Chaim further added that the binyan of a mikvah actually takes precedence to even the building of a shul or purchasing a sefer Torah or any other mitzvah. It's essential for a community to have that, and that Moshe Feinstein, the Igros Moshe, says if you can't find any other way to support the funds to raise for a mikvah, you'd even be allowed to sell a sefer Torah. Ayin Shom. The Mishnah Berurah then quotes in Sivkot and Ayin Beis, if you don't have such a Rav who would be able to be a Mora Hora, so he says, what does that mean? This Rav, who you would hire, is not really a postek. He can give a nice drasha, but he's not a postek. He won't really help you in terms of halachos. He'll be able to give a drasha on Shabbos morning. So then it's preferable to have the chazan. At least you'll have tefillah then. Shliach tzibur kodem in that situation. If you can't have anything else, at least you'll have tefillah. With this rabbi that you'll be getting, if he's not really capable of being a posek, he can't answer your shilas, he can't teach you halachos, he just gives a nice speech, so that's not called having a rav. And that's what the issue footnote 81 says. Im yodeya droshim charifim v'chilukim amukim. He's able to give very fine drushes. The Makor Chaim says, if he's not a baki in hora, then that's where this din applies. He's not considered somebody that you should hire over a chazan. Finally, Siv Chav Hei, the Mechaber writes, "A misalkin chazan miyumnoso elam kinimtso bo psul." We don't remove a chazan from his job unless we find in him some sort of a serious psul, some sort of a serious problem that he's no longer capable of being the chazan for us. In Sivkat Nayin Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah writes, "V'hu adin l'chol hismanus b'mokum shlonagu l'manus zman yadua." This is true for any public servant. If it wasn't set up for a set period of time, but it was a lifelong position, so then you can't remove him unless there's a psul. The reason is vatam shaliach shadum shenim tzobem psul, because otherwise everybody would say you remove them because he has such a psul, and therefore that's not right. In Dirshu footnote number 82, he brings down that you're not allowed to say, okay, you can stay in your position, but we're not going to pay you your salary. The Makor Chaim says that's also not allowed. And he says, v'afilu lo nismanim b'perush, even if he wasn't really appointed for a lifetime position, but he's basically been in the position and nobody said boo, and he's been functioning in that position, so he brings down you can't remove him as well. He also brings down a Maram Shik who says, this is true for a gabbai as well, that if he's been functioning that way for a long period of time, you don't have the right to remove him because of darkei shalom. It's just improper. He says, in regards to a shliach tzibur about tokeya for the yamim noroyim, he says, once they have begun to do their job, even 1 year, so you can't remove them unless there is again a psul. Furthermore, if the shliach tzibur or the baal tokeya got sick and wasn't able to do his job for a temporary period of time and you appointed somebody else, so as soon as the person got healthy again, he resumes his position and the person who took over temporarily doesn't have any ability to prevent him from taking back his position. In Sivkat 9 Dalet, the Mishnah Berurah writes that when you say that he has a psul and you want to remove him, that has to be with witnesses. The oz ain mekablin oso at sheyoshuv b'shuva shlema b'li armo mirma. And in such a situation, if the tzibur believes that he's really done a full tshuva, they can take him back. However, they shouldn't have appointed him if they knew this in the first place. But once he was already appointed, if he has this problem and he has done a complete tshuva, then you can't take him back. Avol b'shvua, if the person just says, I swear I will not do this sin again, then lo yelech b'drochem elu, he says, I swear I will not go on these paths, lo mahani, that's not good enough. The belav hochi mushba v'yomid mehar sinayu, because he has to do that anyway, so his swearing doesn't add anything to it. It's only if we're convinced that he truly has done a tshuva shlema without any arma or mirma, without any trickery, that we would allow to take him back. The Rama adds over here, Hagor, ve'in misalkin oso mishum rinun b'yama. We don't remove a person just because there's a rumor flying about him. Kigon shiyoy yotza olof shem shenitvas imakusis o shemosar odam. We don't believe a rumor that says he was nebuch with a non-Jewish woman, or that he was a moser, he had tattled on somebody, was moser them over to the government. That we don't believe unless we have proof. Sivkat Nayin Hey, the Mishnah Berurah says, again, this is only once he's already in the position. Avol amanoso lechatrila, but to appoint such a person who has this rumor about him, we don't do that. Afilu bishul rinun bi'almo yesh l'mnoa. Even if it's just a rumor, we don't appoint such a person lechatrila. Afilu marinun hayo alav rach bi'alduso. And even if this was many years ago, as we already pointed out earlier in Siv Dalet, we don't appoint such a person lechatrila to be the chazan. Sivkat Nayin Vav, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Mikol Mokom Yesh Lachush L'Kol, we should have to be concerned about these rumors, not to ignore them, and we hoshed based in Al-Kocha to check it out to see if the rumor is in fact true. Shliach Tzibur Shebito Zin Sotachas Bailo, if the Shliach Tzibur unfortunately has a daughter that was Mizana while she was married, so Ein L'Manosa L'Chachila, you shouldn't pick such a person. In Dishu footnote 84, he brings down, this is a little bit like the Kohen, whose daughter is Mizana, so it's a bad reflection on him as well. He did brings down nowadays, Vizmana Zeh Ein Minog L'Psol Machma Zeh. We don't, unfortunately, times have changed, so we don't hold the father accountable like they might have in the previous years for his daughter's actions. However, L'Chachila, you shouldn't appoint such a person to be the Shliach Tzibur. If he's already been appointed, we don't have to remove him from his position because of this tremendous flaw in his daughter's actions. This concludes today's shiur.